Today's podcast is sponsored by the people at Aura.com. Now, Aura offers identity theft protection, fraud monitoring, a VPN, password management, and antivirus software all in one easy-to-use app. This means that if your online accounts or passwords are leaked online, you'll be alerted quickly, which means that you can be secure from hackers, scammers, and noisy advertising companies. The narcissists are everywhere. Literally, a friend of mine signed up and Aura found his passwords 9 times on the dark web. So go to Aura.com/Dr. Carter. That's Aura.com/Dr. Carter. And use my link and you'll receive a free 14-day trial. And if you continue, then you'll be able to save an additional 40% off all plans. So thanks to the people at Aura.com for sponsoring this episode.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Surviving Narcissism podcast with your host, Dr. Les Carter. I'm Michaela, the program director, and in today's episode, Dr. Carter will discuss how narcissists are defined by psychological laziness.
Hey there, Team Healthy. Boy, have I got a good topic for us to discuss today, because I'm hoping this is going to be one of those insights or awarenesses that help you understand much more fully about what you're dealing with when you are interacting with that strongly narcissistic person. Now, for those of you who are new to the podcast, let's have a little reminder of what we're talking about when we refer to narcissism. The narcissist is somebody that's very self-absorbed, self-enamored. They have an attitude of entitlement. They want to be in control. They have low levels of empathy because, you see, it's all about me. They want to be in the superior position. They operate with what I refer to as an alternate reality, which is a nice way of saying they make up stuff as they go along with it that suits their narrative. These are individuals who just do not have a sense of equality, but instead they must establish themselves as being superior. That's what we're talking about when we refer to narcissism. And when you look at that conglomeration of characteristics, you realize, man alive, there's so many people out there that lead with those kind of characteristics. We all can have some of those traits from time to time. Healthy people, though, will acknowledge it and they'll say, okay, if I have any kind of inclination toward that, those are not ingredients that are going to help out in any kind of way in my primary relationships. Let's figure out the better alternatives. Narcissists, it's like, nah, I don't want to have to work that hard. And today I'm going to talk with you about how narcissists are typified by their own psychological laziness. They have all sorts of strains and stresses from the inside out. In fact, if anything, they have more strain and stress that they carry around. There's an inner chaos that they have on the inside. But instead of saying, I need to take a look at that, I need to examine what's going on inside of me because I know that I can be a much better version of myself. No, instead of that, it's like, that sounds too hard. And that's what I mean when I refer to as psychological laziness. Now, I'm going to start out by talking with you in healthy terms. That's a nice thing to do, isn't it? And I want to talk about when you realize that you have particular issues from the inside out. None of us had a perfect history. None of us has a perfect now. But what we can do is we can say, well, given some of the flaws or disappointments or hurt or just some of the lack of awareness that I've operated with, I want to be a learner and I want to be somebody who is growing. I want us to look at 4 primary qualities that can be shown that says you're in that mode and good for you. And then I'm going to be adding a whole lot to this. And then I'm going to be talking about psychological laziness and I'm going to contrast that with where the narcissist is coming from. So hang in there with me. My OC mind is in full gear. I've got a little outline here. We're going to go all the way through it. Okay. 4 things that we watch for that indicates that a person is indeed in a growth mode and they're trying to get beyond whatever negative potential might be there. The first thing that a guy like me, a therapist who's talking with people about making adjustments, the first thing that we want to watch for is an individual who is psychologically alert and honest. Yeah, we're more than just functions. You know, early on, you learn that you're supposed to say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. You're supposed to clean up your room, or you have to do your homework. That's what I mean when I say being functional. And certainly in our adult years, we have plenty of functions that we need to do, going to the grocery store or taking care of the laundry or doing the tasks that the boss says you're supposed to do, etc. But we're so much more than just function. And healthy individuals will say, well, there are all sorts of things on the inside of me that go beyond just duties and performances and obligations. And so we can have a sense of honesty about the need to examine oneself in an ongoing kind of basis. I'm in my late 60s right now, barely. I'm fixed to go into the next phase, but we won't talk about that. I'll start crying. But anyway, I want to consider myself to be an ongoing learner. I'm never so complete that I have nothing to learn about. And so healthy individuals early on, or as soon as they have the awareness, will ask questions like, well, exactly who am I anyway? And how do I want to be defined? And what goes into the making of what I am today? What causes me to act as I do? And then taking it a little bit further, when I say that you want to be a psychologically alert and honest person, they're also willing to take that same thinking and apply it to you. Well, who are you? And what experiences do you bring to the equation? What are your needs? And what are some of the unique circumstances that make up your backstory? And so there can be this sense that says, I really like to learn and I want to be tuned in to whatever is going on inside of me and inside of you. And I want us to have an honest and open discussion about all of that. Now, let me just pause right there. This is point number one that I'm making with respect to healthy human nature. That narcissistic person in your life, is that something that tends to identify them? And I dare say, no, not really. Let's go on to a second thing that is part of being a healthy individual, somebody who's alert and knows where they're going and they're very intentional. The second thing that I watch for is when people can learn how to prioritize impulse control. Go way back to when you were a kid, when I was a kid, we had all sorts of desires and cravings and preferences, and sometimes we would have little children have a hard time containing themselves. If something hurts, they shout, or if they want something, they go grab it, or if somebody is going contrary, they yell, or they pout, or, you know, we just have these hard reactions. Well, you know, the more you age and you mature, you begin realizing maybe this world isn't just all about me. Maybe there are other individuals that I need to tune into, and I need to learn how to contain those impulses that I have. Sometimes I'm going to be excited, but then I need to consider the place that I'm in and who I'm with and how I'm going to express myself. Sometimes I may have disappointments, or I may disagree with someone else, or I may have my moments of anger or hurt. And then we can question in those moments, how am I going to maintain myself? Do I just blurt everything out and do I just kind of let all my raw emotion run with me? Or can I have a sense of rationale and reason? We can still allow that emotion and we can still allow ourselves to feel deeply what we feel, but we do so with the understanding that we want to contain it based on healthy interactions with one another, a healthy sense of interconnection, conscientiousness. You know, you do what you do with the understanding that it's going to impact other individuals. What does that mean? So the first thing that's part of a healthy life is you're psychologically alert and honest. The second thing I like to zero in on is you have a sense of impulse control. Okay, let's take it on. There's a third thing that's part of developing in a healthy kind of way, and that is you learn eventually how to prioritize acceptance over correctness. One of the biggest problems that I see with individuals who are having relationship difficulties is they get so stuck on being right. And that's very much a narcissistic characteristic. I have to be right. I have to be the one that's calling the shot. My opinion is the one that matters most. I want to have the final word. I want to be the one that determines things. And so correctness, being right, having that last word is something that we can be tempted toward. But wait a minute. Beyond being right, there's, well, this really, really large ingredient. We call it love. I want to be right, but I want to be loving even more so. And the more we engage with each other, and then hopefully we mature and grow, we can hold on to the notion that says, well, correctness still is something that I appreciate, and I want to seek that out. But I want to figure out, how can I learn how to be inclusive? How can I learn to make room for someone who is not the same as me? I have my ideals, but I acknowledge that you have your ideals too, and we may not be coming from the same place. Is that okay? And with healthy individuals, it's like, well, diversity certainly exists, so I guess we need to make room for that. And so part of the healthy mindset means that we can have acceptance and prioritize it over correctness. Not that correctness is wrong, because there still are moments when we want to appeal to what we know to be correct, and we want to hold on to our boundaries and principles and standards and values. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that that's something that's a bad thing. But first and foremost, I want to be known as somebody that can accept people in the midst of our differences. And then a fourth characteristic of that healthy personality is you want to be proactive rather than reactive in the way that you engage with other individuals. So many times we get ourselves in trouble when we just allow the world out there to dictate who I'm going to be in here. And there's so many people that will say, well, I had a really bad day yesterday, and I'll ask them why. And they'll say, well, this person over here was non-cooperative. This person over there was argumentative, or that individual I was attempting to explain something, they became defensive. And then before you know it, I wound up getting dysregulated myself. And we allow ourselves to play off of the people and the events and circumstance. So that argumentative person is doing their thing, and before you know it, I'm being argumentative too. That person over there is being defensive, and I wind up being defensive myself. Or this person over here is saying ugly things, and I say a few ugly things in reverse. Healthy individuals is like, whoa, wait a minute. I can't let that happen. I don't want my manner of life to be determined by the world out there. There's enough pessimism that I build into my way of thinking that says, I'm probably going to bump into something today that I don't like. Can I go ahead and have a game plan so that I'm intentional, or I'm proactive in the way that I live, as opposed to just popping off based on whatever somebody else gives me? And I'm going to operate according to a well-devised set of values and standards. That's what I'm talking about as I'm talking about the healthy personality. Now, I'm hoping that as you hear me say this, now I've got four things here that I watch for. Actually, there are many, many other things, but these are four things. You're psychologically alert. You can prioritize impulse control. You can prioritize acceptance over correctness. And then you can be proactive rather than reactive in the way that you engage with the world. Those are four indicators that says you're moving in the right direction. Now, let's go back to our term, psychological laziness. You see, in the few moments that I've been describing these other characteristics that are part of the healthy relationship style, there has to be a certain amount of thoughtfulness and deliberation that goes into it. And the narcissist is like, I don't want to have to think that hard. And they can be so driven by raw impulse that taking responsibility for themselves in the ways that I've just described is like, nah, that sounds like too much work. I want you out there to do the right things so that I can be okay. And so they're not driven at all by internal efforts or wrestling with who they are. Instead, it's like, I want you people out there to do all the work. And that explains why they can be so easily accusatory and blaming and controlling and forceful. It's like, you're not doing what I need you to do so that I can be okay. And then when someone comes along to that narcissist and says, well, why don't you take responsibility for yourself? They may not say these words, but the implication is, shut up. I didn't ask for you to say that. I don't want to have to do the hard work. You do it. So there, let me see if I can point out several of the primary indicators we can watch for when that individual, that narcissistic individual, is trapped by their own psychological laziness, where they don't want to have to put out the effort. They want to dodge it, and they want you to do the work on their behalf. One of the first things you'll notice is that narcissists are very prone towards making excuses when problems arise. And by the way, lame excuses, I might add. These individuals tend to be very defensive when there's something that happens between themselves and other people, rather than thinking, well, it seems like each one of us, including myself, needs to do a little soul searching. It's like, soul searching, my, you know what, I'm not going to do that. And so when problems arise, what they'll say is, well, if I did do something wrong, it wasn't my fault because you. And so they do a lot of blame shifting. They do a lot of justifying and rationalizing of themselves. And even if they made a complete fool of themselves by being angry or making blunders or making bad judgments, it's still somebody else's. It's still someone else's fault. They don't want to have to go internally and do the hard work of thinking things through and asking that "who am I" question and all that I mentioned just a few moments ago. I'd like for you to be aware of my video courses. One is entitled Ready, Set, Connect. Now, narcissists are quite capable of throwing you off balance, so this course keeps you focused on the skills and the mindset that are necessary for positive connections. And inside the course, we have various modules that, and inside each module are lessons, and each lesson contains a video, written documents, and then questions that go along with it. We'll discuss things like how to have good conflict resolution skills, building empathy, how to be the authentic self that you need to be. If you're interested in enrolling, you can go to our website, survivingnarcissism.tv, click the link for courses. You'll find Ready, Set, Connect there, as well as the others. I hope that you would find them to be quite helpful.
And now back to Surviving Narcissism with Dr. Carter.
Another indicator of a narcissist's psychological laziness is you'll notice that they tend to repeat the same annoying habits over and over and over. And if somebody tries to draw attention to it, sometimes they may even agree, or many times they'll just argue, but they don't learn from their history. I'll give you a simple example. You've probably known this. I've known many people that have terrible time management skills. And you might say something like, okay, we have such and such. It's going to start today at 10 o'clock. It's very important that we have, are conscientious about that. Can you work with me on it? And they'll say, okay, yeah, I'll be there at 10 o'clock. And you know they're not going to do it. Or it may be that these are individuals that they're driving in traffic and in the big city, and they know based on the last time they drove in the big city yesterday that the traffic wasn't all that good, but they still get the same amount of upset each day. They don't seem to learn that, I guess I'm going to have to figure out how to roll with this. Or it may be that you have somebody that says, well, I've got a bad temper, but I'm not going to regulate that. Or they may drink alcohol too much and they say to themselves, I need to cut back, and they don't. Or they may need to diet and they do what is necessary for a while, but then they don't do that either. Or they may not follow through on tasks. In other words, they have a same repetition of their self-sabotaging behaviors. And they just never learn from mistakes, because we go back to number one, they're always making excuses and blame shifting, etc. And that's their psychological laziness. Don't make me have to think. And if problems come along, I'm just in the moment. They don't think in terms of their history and how things have worked out poorly when they don't do well. And they certainly don't have good future planning. Another indicator that narcissists are inclined or are ensnared by their own psychological laziness is that they have an almost complete inability to moderate their anger. You know, one of the best ways to determine how healthy a person is to watch how they manage themselves in the midst of conflict. And the emotion that tends to be most prominent in the middle of conflict is anger, whether we're talking about the more moderate forms of anger, annoyance, irritability, impatience, or the larger forms, rage and harshness and being mean-spirited. Or it may be that they're passive-aggressive and they can go into deep stubborn mode, or maybe they're the type of people that hold grudges and hold people in contempt. All of that is part of their anger management style. Narcissists, because they're too lazy to do the hard work, they just keep going back to the same anger, maladaptive anger patterns, and they don't learn from that because, keep in mind, it's all about you. You were supposed to do the things to make me feel better, and you didn't do it right, and so they lazily assume, I don't need to do the work to make myself a more emotionally stable person. You just need to treat me better. That's their laziness. And as a result, tomorrow and the next day and a year from now, they're still going to have their anger issues because they just simply don't want to have to take responsibility. There's another way that narcissists will portray their psychological laziness, and that is they gripe and complain about how misunderstood they are. They like to think of themselves as a unique, misunderstood person. How many times has a narcissist said to you, or if they haven't said these words, they think it, you just don't understand, or you're not catching on to what I'm trying to tell you, or let me explain. And the implication is I've got to get other individuals on my team. I have to have their concurrence. I have to have them tuning into what I say so that I can finally be okay. And then if you don't have the full understanding of them, or if you just disagree, then that allows them to say, well, see, the problem that I have is not that I'm a bad person. The problem is not that I'm dysregulated or I'm emotionally immature. The problem is you don't understand me. And if you could just understand me, I'll skip along and have a really wonderful day. But of course, this is you and you keep messing up my life. That's their laziness. Or another indicator that they're caught in their own psychological laziness is narcissists have an ongoing pessimism that guides the way that they look at things. They are easily critical. They're easily negative in the way that they look at people. They have a lack of appreciation towards others. They constantly gripe. Because, well, this is just a messed up world, and they have such a high opinion, an elevated opinion of themselves. Of course, I'm the gold standard here, so if there's something wrong here, it's just because I live with a bunch of terrible slobs, and they're no good, and they just don't know how to treat people, you know, like me, who are important. They don't know how to treat us well, and that's part of their laziness. Again, they want you to do their work for them. And then finally, we can say that there's a... another indicator of their psychological laziness is they're impenetrable when you attempt to talk with them about insights that might be helpful for them. They cannot and they will not hear other individuals fully. You have to understand me, but I don't have to understand you. And as a result, they have very thick walls built around themselves. They will not allow themselves to be vulnerable. That scares them to death. It's like, well, if I say I'm hurting or I'm struggling and I do the work that goes along with that, then that means I have to admit to more humanity than I'm really wanting to do. And I'm not about to go into that space. And so they have an impenetrable nature where you just simply cannot get them to be open because that doesn't suit their narrative. So we have what we know to be a healthy way of living, as I described earlier. And then we have these indicators where the narcissist says, nah, I'm too lazy to have to do the hard work of that. And so they have all sorts of characteristics that they just are driven by. And basically, it makes us think, so what's going on inside that narcissistic person that keeps them stuck in this lazy, I don't want to have to take responsibility kind of mindset? Well, let's keep in mind that part of the pattern of narcissism, there's a great deal of pathology. I mentioned just at the very beginning, one of the things that's part of the driving force of narcissism is they have to be superior. I'm going to give you four things that drive them. And again, there are many others, but I'm doing this as a contrast to the four parts of emotional healthiness. Narcissists want to be superior. And in order for them to maintain their superiority, they will not allow themselves to say, I'm a mistake maker. Because you see, that would bring them down to the level of, all the rest of the 8 billion people that are out there. And they don't want to do that. They have to be better than, which means you're less than. But in their need to prop up that lofty, false ego, then they can't go into the space that says, well, I need to go ahead and look at my humanity just like everybody does. They can't do that. A second thing that they do that keeps them stuck in those patterns of psychological laziness is they operate with a very strong punitive mindset. Way early on in the life of the narcissist, they learn that there's a lot of judgment, there's a lot of criticism, there's a correct and incorrect list that people are supposed to be aware of, and as a result, they grew up fearing being judged or being punished or being caught in a wrong kind of way. So what they decided as they began to age and come deeper into their adult years, it's like, well, what about if I become the one that pronounces judgment? And what if I'm the one that says, here's what the standard is, and I get to clobber people who don't do things according to that agenda? And so that's part of their narcissism. Rather than doing the hard work of saying, what was that all about, if they did have that high-performance mentality thrust upon them in their early years, they don't go into that space. That's too much work. They just think, if there's something wrong here, then I need to punish so that I can avert being punished myself. I need to judge so that I can avert being judged. And somehow that seems to soothe them. Of course, that's a temporary thing. A third reason that narcissists stay stuck in their psychological laziness is what I would refer to as just their raw egotism. You know, narcissists have this notion that says, do you know who I am? I mean, there's all the rest of the idiots out there, and then there's me. And I don't really care what you think. And I don't care what you would have to say. All I care about is I want my way. And if I have to punish you, or if I had to be difficult, well, I'm not the difficult one, it's you. And so they're so self-absorbed, they're so tuned into what they crave and what they want in the moment, that that's the only thing that drives them. Healthy ways of thinking and being require that you think expansively and you look into other individuals, but they don't have enough empathy and they don't have enough desire to coordinate with other individuals. And then we can say there's a fourth thing that is part of the narcissistic pattern, and that is, I mentioned that there's a pessimism that they have. Basically, narcissists, the older they get, they tend to cling more and more to contempt as they engage with the world. Over time, as they continue to have this laziness that says, I don't want to do the hard work, you people out there need to do the work on my behalf, they set themselves up to being frustrated because nobody's ever going to do everything according to their mandates and desires and preferences. And so a bitterness begins to creep in, resentment begins to creep in. They tend to think in terms of you being that low life who's making their life miserable. So they start thinking things like, I despise you, or get out of my life, or I'll run over you if you don't do the things that I want. And so they wind up being defined by their own contempt and negative emotions that go along with that. So let's go back to my starting points here today. There are certain things that we can do that will illustrate that we're in a growth mode. And I truly hope that you're here on Team Healthy, that you're one that says, oh, that's what I live for. I like to grow and I like to learn. And if there's some things about myself that I learned that are not exactly self-flattering, then let me know so that I can make adjustments. I want to be that kind of person. Narcissists, though, don't want to do that hard work, and they have so many chaotic and nonsensical reasonings that they draw upon that allow them to be this person of psychological laziness, like I mentioned, that's what you're dealing with, and you're only going to bang your head against that brick wall if you keep wondering, well, how can I make them be something other than that? So I hope this gives you some awareness of what you're really dealing with here. And I know that you would like to look to that narcissistic person and say, please join me. I'm wanting to be growth oriented. And I'd like to put my arm around your shoulder and say, come along with me. We can do this together. But they're too self-enamored and they're frankly too unwilling to do the personal work that would be necessary. Know that when you're engaging with them, but also know that you can decide if that's where they are. I don't want to allow a person like that who's psychologically lazy to dictate who I'm going to be. I want to be psychologically proactive. I want to be psychologically intentional, and I want goodness and decency. You know, our mantra here with our Surviving Narcissism channel, Dr. C, DRC stands for dignity, respect, and civility. That's who I'm going to be. And Mr. or Mrs. Narcissist, if you're unwilling or unable to join me, that's too bad. I'm sorry for that, but I'm not going to allow you to have the reins to my way of being. I'm going down the path towards healthiness. Okay, Team Healthy, I hope this gives you some good things to think about, and I'm hoping that you can be that beacon of light to the people that are in your world. Know that I appreciate you allowing me to be on your journey with you. And I truly hope that as you continue to learn and grow, it makes you more and more inclined to be that person of steadiness and that person of peace.
Thank you for listening. Surviving Narcissism is the product of many years of work done by Dr. Les Carter. Dr. Carter is a best-selling author and therapist with more than 40 years of experience, specializing in anger management and narcissistic personality disorder. You can find more content from Dr. Carter on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Surviving Narcissism, as well as on his website, survivingnarcissism.tv. Thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. We are so glad to have you on Team Healthy.